This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, it's Friday. What's happening, everybody?
Geez, what a week, huh?
Been busy.
Well, you've been particularly busy, Gary.
Yeah, it's been a good week. I mean, I told you I don't like March that much, but it's been a good week. Got a lot done. Ticked a couple of things off the old bucket list, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yesterday, I couldn't talk about this until the whole event had happened, but... See, I was excited.
Just thought it needed a little...
Thanks, dear.
Ra-za-za for it all.
Ben says he didn't see any pictures in social media yesterday, which must have meant Sia was already at the police station. Let me explain. We were actually invited to spend some time with David Beckham, who's in South Africa. He's busy launching his own whiskey brand, which we'll tell you about in the next couple of weeks. And we got talking to their ad agency, and we got talking to the whiskey manufacturer there, and he's very involved. He designed it. He was involved with the bottle. He was involved with the taste of the whiskey. He's apparently a big whiskey drinker, and this is going to be the kind of whiskey that's for everybody.
David Beckham is, or the maker is?
Well, in this case, he's very involved in designing everything. So he had a hand in how it should taste, and in what the bottle should look like, and how it should be marketed, and who it should be marketed to. You know, he's very involved. So they launched this thing probably a couple of days ago, three, four days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in South Africa, and he was in Johannesburg yesterday, and we got to spend, 10, 15 minutes talking to him. So it's a little interview. Mm-hmm. Which is cool. Now, the reason I say that that's a bucket list thing is because Beckham has always been, like, one of the coolest men in the world.
Yeah.
Without any exception. Like, the guy's just... Even when he's done stuff that is maybe not the best PR or the best publicity for himself, he's still cool. Like, he's just one of those guys who gets it right. Like, anything he wore a sarong once. Do you remember? And everybody was like, what?
He braided
and
his
he
hair
And he did it.
Once.
He braided his hair. He shaved his hair off. He had it long. He started the tattoo craze. Don't tell me anybody else did it. He made it mainstream.
Back off, sailors. It was David Beckham.
It was Beckham. I mean, no one wanted to look like a sailor. Everybody wants to look like David Beckham. Everything he does, he seems to turn to gold. So I'm a bit of a fan, and it was nice to sit and talk to him one-on-one for, what, a few minutes, and Sia was there, and Greg was there, and we put the whole thing together, and it was terrific. So we'll play that out for you probably tonight. We'll put it up on cliffcentral.com. You know, we have certain timelines, and we have to wait for certain things to kick in, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it'll be available today, later on today. I hope you'll enjoy it. We spoke a little bit about his kids. We spoke a little bit about he owns his own club now, which is a big deal. Bought that club in Miami, and he's one of the owners.
It's a football club, of course, not a nightclub.
No, football club.
Right.
Thanks
for the.
And we spoke a bit about the mistakes he's made, the things that he's got up to in his life, the direction he's headed in. How important it is to be authentic and to really be you. He was just great. He was a cool guy to talk to and very friendly, very very amiable. Yeah.
You're always surprised when they're friendly.
You expect them to be maybe a bit bored because they do this all the time, meeting people, media stuff, interviews.
Oh, he doesn't get to meet you guys every day, though.
Ben.
So I joked with him at some point in the interview and said, well, I've already had two glasses of this whiskey, so this interview is probably going to be a disaster. And he liked that.
Hey, the whiskey is good. It really now, is, because I got into it too.
Yeah, so I left Sia there and he carried on. We all came back to the studio straight after the interview, but I left Sia there. Sia was talking to Beckham's hairdresser.
He is rocking like a... His hair is long.
No, it's short just, again.
Yeah.
It's very tidy now.
No, guys, it's not short. It's not like Ben short.
No, he had thought
Ben's
of...
Ben's is longer than Beckham's. Let me show.
I think he chopped it off, actually, in the past couple of days, because when he originally arrived, his hair was...
Yeah, it was down to here. Oh, okay, you see, that's what I saw, because his hair was like... Mm. It came down to just above his shoulders.
Yes.
Yes, that's what
middle
I saw.
Middle of his neck vibes.
Are you sure that wasn't Victoria Beckham?
No, she's...
So that is why I was so obsessed with the hairdresser, because this is... Ken Pavers, he's like a big LA-based.
And you know, you knew him when you walked in.
As soon as I saw his face. I'm
wow! Like, oh, how did you know that?
Goodness.
I'm nice to everybody in those situations, just in case, because you never know who's important. And it's usually the people who are, you know, off to the side and they kind of just doing their own thing and they're on their phone.
You never know who's important.
I don't know.
You never know. But Sia just knows. He knows.
When you're busy with organic chemistry, I'm busy Instagram stalking people. So,
yeah, I saw a bunch of people there that you know, there were only, I think there were five or six media people altogether. It wasn't a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So we were one of those. I saw David O'Sullivan, who's now at Kaya. I saw Greg and Lucky from 947.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually told Greg to come in. You know, remember we interviewed Lucky not so long ago?
And yeah, that was a great interview.
Yeah, he was cool. He was fun. So I thought, well, let's meet the other dude. He looks like Jesus.
Oh.
No, he's the one with long hair.
Yeah, he's got long hair. Looks like Jesus. And we were in Maboneng. Which, when you drive into Maboneng, it is disgusting. Like, there's rubbish everywhere. You come off that one... You know, you go off Harrow Road and you come into town almost at Anderson Street or whatever it is. It's a fucking dump. There's rubbish and papers and crap everywhere. It's a dump. Herman Mashaba, talking to you. DA, taking over the city. We're gonna tidy it up. Well, take a drive with me. I'll show you some disaster areas. Anyway, we go into Maboneng, and everybody thinks Maboneng's so cool, and I don't think it's horrible, but it's not that cool.
Yeah, but if you have a trendy event, it's the law that you have to have it there or Newtown. Right. Yeah, there's an actual law in Johannesburg.
It was nice, though. I mean, I did enjoy the place, and, you know, it was fun. We were there for, 2 hours? And got to chat to some people. Spoke to Beckham's management. They were nice people. You know, it's hard to be the there's this woman who kind of, she's like his gatekeeper. There's always somebody who's the gatekeeper.
Sure.
For these famous people. Oof. And they hired because they keep the crap away. And they protect this famous person. That's why they're hired. So I understand that. I mean, when you're at his level, you don't need to risk anything. You don't need to be...
Yeah, so true.
Dangerous? What do you need to be dangerous for? You know, have opinions and, you know, look for trouble and get into situations that you don't need to be in. No, rather get to hire someone who can be the bulldog and guard you. And they have to stop everybody who could threaten this brand that you've built. I totally understand that. It's not worth the risk. What are you doing it for? You don't get kicks out of, you know, attention anymore. He's got all the attention any human being could possibly want. He's got a family, he's got kids. We spoke about that quite a lot in social media and, you know, whether it's dangerous for the kids. But we'll play the whole thing for you. I don't want to spoil too much now. But it was cool to, you know, meet one of the people because he's on my bucket list. There are only a few left of people that I really still want to meet.
Okay,
listen, the Hardy Dars are here to say good morning.
So how many people are left? Barbara Streisand?
Oh, yeah. She's
Hillary.
She's the top of the list.
Hillary.
Donald.
No.
Vlad.
Vlad would be interesting. I saw her. Did you ever watch that interview he did with Megyn Kelly?
Mm-mm.
Oh. That Vladimir Putin is all... He's so hardcore, huh?
Well, he wrestles bears.
Yeah.
And not like Leonardo DiCaprio. He actually wrestles bears.
But he's created this persona he has to keep up to now of being the hardcore badass Russian.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you know who we're going to speak to? We haven't spoken to her in ages, and I feel bad about this. We were meant to talk to her last week, and we couldn't get through. You remember Debbie in Washington, who we speak to, and she pops by here often when she's in South Africa. She's kind of like our informal Washington correspondent. Hey, Deb, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
Good. What's happening in D.C.? Hmm? What?
It's not happening in DC.
This line is terrible. I don't know what happened there. We were fine for like a second and then it dipped out. So what's going
all
on?
Right, hold on.
No. Oh, I see.
Okay, how's that?
That's better. All right, so what's happening?
Oh my gosh. Well, you all have a new president. And
yes.
We still have the same one.
Thanks for reminding us.
Listen, David Beckham for president. I mean, anybody but Trump, right? That's a cool interview that you did. I can't wait to hear it.
Well, you know, you mentioned David Beckham, and in the U.S., he became a really well-known dude, and he's done a lot to make soccer a popular sport in America.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. He's kind of like the Tiger Woods of golf. He's of soccer. He's really big over here. So I can't wait to hear your interview. You guys are doing okay. I miss you. The last time I was there, I actually was there talking to you all.
Yeah.
So it's been since October, if you can believe it.
Now, I heard some terrible news this morning that Crooked Hillary fell and broke something.
Yeah, you know, she broke a wrist, I think.
Yeah.
Wow. What
and
happened?
And she was in India. I think she's in India.
How did she do that?
I heard two stories. One, she fell on the stairs, and one at 5 in the morning, she slipped in the tub. So
wow.
I don't know what anybody's doing up at 5 in the morning unless you're doing a radio show, right?
Exactly.
You'll never know. You'll never know the truth.
No, because Hillary can't tell the truth, so she'll probably tell us she was attacked by lions.
There you go. There
right.
you go.
How is your favorite president? How's Donald Trump doing?
Well, you know, Gareth, it can't get much lower when a porn star is suing President of the United States. And I have to tell you, I mean, I know this is really sexist and I'm a feminist and all that, but you know, when this was all happening, I was in Egypt and this thing broke and I saw her face. I never saw like the rest of her body.
Stormy
and
Daniels.
Then, yeah. Stormy. Yeah. And then I saw like all of her. Oh my God. I Bill just said she's voluptuous. She's more than that. I mean, like,
are you
who could ever look at her face again?
Are you saying she's fat?
Debbie, this doesn't sound like the talk of a feminist.
The feminist, yeah. I've never seen boobs like that in my life. Oh, my God.
You sound just like Gareth now. He objectifies women.
Oh, shut up, man.
That's right. That's exactly what I'm doing. I mean, no, I mean, they're just, I mean, it's just, it reminds me of a cartoon that, you know, that this woman is the center of the attention. She's been paid off now by two lawyers, and it's the president of the United States.
Jesus.
You can't – we're so desensitized by everything that he does that nothing fazes us anymore. It's just – he makes Zuma look like, you know,
careful.
Mother Teresa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great comparison. Listen, Deb, what about this Rex Tillerson dude? He got fired this week. That's the Secretary of State.
Yep, he sure did. He had the audacity to have, like, maybe meaningful conversations on maybe why certain things aren't probably appropriate in the diplomacy world. And, you know, he got rid of him. Trump is not going to listen to anyone that doesn't agree with what he's doing. I think our chief of staff is on the way out. I actually think he's running scared. There's, you know, the special investigator is starting to subpoena his Trump organization. His son-in-law's in a lot of trouble. It's just you. There's no more soap operas on TV because we have Washington, D.C. So it's really interesting here. But, you know, on a positive note, something very tragic that happened in the United States with the shooter at the high school.
Yes.
We're having, you know, a big march on Washington the kids walked out of school yesterday. There were thousands of children, young people that sound, you know, some of these speeches that they've made, they sound better than the politicians. And this is our future. And they're marching on Washington on the 24th of March. And you know me, I'm a big marcher. And they're expecting over 500,000 people.
Are you going to be wearing your pussy hat?
I have like five of them. Absolutely. I will send a photo.
All right. So who are they marching? Who are they marching against? Are they marching against psychopaths who go into schools and shoot people? Are they marching against Donald Trump? Are they marching against?
Unfortunately, it always becomes the Trump posters. Those are kind of like the best things to take photos of. But it's a march on Washington to become more realistic about gun control, raising the age to 21, which the state of Florida has already done. And, you know, that you don't need to shoot a deer with an assault rifle. And, you know, with the kind of weapon that does double bullets or whatever. I'm not quite sure what the name of the gun is, but yeah, just to be more sensible. We're not trying to take guns away from people. We're just trying for people not to have access to, you know, assault weapons that can do what they did at this high school. So, there's some positive things that are going on here. We just never know what he's going to do next.
Let me ask you about the leaders of that women's march, because you were on that thing. I mean, we got people in there who support Farrakhan. We've got people like Linda Sarsour who's saying that it's a good idea to put women in burqas and hijabs and hide away their faces. And she says that, you know, Islam is this enlightened and fantastic religion that is all about freedom for women. And these are not very credible people, these women's march leaders. If anything, they're a bunch of lunatics.
Well, that's your opinion. Look at
Linda Sarsour's words. Don't worry about my opinion. I mean, she's like unhinged, a crackpot.
Well, yeah, no, she has come up with some interesting, opinions. Not everyone feels the way that she does.
Well, she's
for one, she's a
blatant anti-Semite. You know, these are such tasteless people. They really are awful. I don't know if I like her. And it seems to me like any excuse now, the guns are, and that's a really good thing to march against. If you're going to march against anything, children dying in schools is a damn good reason. But I don't know. Like everybody seems to want to turn it into an anti-Trump thing the whole time because they've got this issue that they want daddy to love them and they don't like daddy and they need to do something about that. I mean, you know.
I think you do this on purpose, Gareth, just to get me going. So it does become Trump because he's an idiot, and we have an idiot for a president.
Well, you guys voted for him. I mean, you know, you got to accept that our country voted for Jacob Zuma, and I'm ashamed. I mean, what can I say?
No. And it's really funny, you know, when I'm traveling, people will say, you know, we don't understand how Trump won because. Nobody voted for him. They all say, oh, we didn't vote for him because most of the people that voted for him don't really travel that much. So it does become Trump because it does become anti-Trump because there's so much to be against him for.
Why do we have a march against Hollywood? I mean, it seems to me like there are a lot of creeps and sexual perverts and, you know, Just
we're getting all those sexual perverts, you know. We're getting, I mean, you know, the We Matter. What is it? What's the logo?
Time's Up. Me Too.
Yeah, Me Too. There you go. And I mean, we're getting everyone now. We're in a mode.
Right.
But listen, speaking about that, it's about damn time for women empowerment, and it's about damn time that men do not have. You know, feel like they have power over women's bodies because they can ruin them and ruin their careers. I think, you know, that with every positive, there's some negatives, but I think it's about time for women to be paid equally. And, and Hollywood is a good place to start because people know what the stars are doing and they realize that there's not equality in paying women. Did you just hear about The Crown? I mean, here this Netflix.
Yeah, that was funny. The woman who plays Queen Elizabeth, she's playing the queen, yeah. And her husband gets paid more than she does in the movie, in the show.
What is wrong with that? That is ridiculous. So,
that is ridiculous.
You know, the movement is beginning to where, you know, we can be equal and we don't have to be touched and we don't have to endure, you know, in order to keep our mouth shut, to keep our job. I think it's good. I think a lot has come up. Now, again, back to Trump. He's being sued by a porn star.
Oh, you like
you know,
that.
When are we going to get rid of his ass, right?
All right. Ben wants to ask you something.
Debbie, hang on a second. What have you got against porn stars? I noticed your tone becomes very derogatory when you mention this woman.
Yeah, you body shame them, all kinds of things, Debbie.
I have nothing against porn stars.
It's legitimate living, especially in America.
No. I have nothing against porn stars. I have nothing against strippers. Actually, it's kind of a empowerment thing. You know, Bill's like, yeah, I like strippers. He's back here going,
Bill's honest in the sidelines. But I mean, you've got to check your tone, Debbie.
No, excuse me. I didn't mean to say porn star.
Yeah, let's talk about equal pay. How come male porn stars and male strippers get paid absolute shit and women get a lot of money? I mean, why don't we march against that and put on our pussy hats? That would really be a good thing
to
do.
I'll start a movement, Gareth. I will start a movement. I am for porn stars, male, female, to get equal pay. That sounds cool to me.
I love it. Now, that sounds good. Bill, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's a good idea.
He's ready to go. I think he's going to go power up the personal computer.
All right. All right, you two. Listen, Debbie, it's always nice to talk to you. And
it's so wonderful to talk to you. I should be there. I should be over in May.
Good. Come and visit us. We love seeing you.
I will. All right. I will. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, Debbie. Bye. She's great. There's Debbie in Washington.
I obviously missed a conversation about pussy hats. What's the relevance of that?
Oh, you don't know about a pussy hat?
No.
That's what they wear. Look it up. Google image pussy hat and you'll see they wear them at anti-Trump marches. It's like a pink, ugly, crocheted thing. It's the least flattering headgear in the universe.
Wow, pussyhatproject.com.
You haven't seen one? Don't you have one, Ben? What's wrong with you?
They're cute. They're kind of like cat hats.
Well, it's a pussy hat. And women wear them in the marches. I think you might be looking up the wrong kind of pussy hat if it's a cat hat.
No, it just looks like people are trying to have like cats on their head.
They've got little ears.
It's got the ears, yeah.
It's a pussy hat.
Cute.
That's a word that's never been used for a pussy hat before. Cute.
Shit.
Because if you said that in the march, you'd be destroyed.
I'd be stoned. Stoning would happen.
Some big extra hairy feminist would come over to you and smack you about the head.
Don't you dare criticize it, laugh at my pussy hat, or worse, call it cute.
Wow,
not cute.
The pussy hat was on the cover of Time magazine.
Yes. Well, I mean, listen, anything can get on the cover of Time magazine these days. They can't decide what
the people wearing
Trump was on there.
The people wearing pussy hats look very angry.
A lot of angry people in the world, Ben.
Yeah.
Not everyone's able to be happy.
Yeah, Gareth, this is how we live and learn. There's one pussy hat that's got like a pink kind of bottom section. Oh wait, those are balls. Okay,
that's a ball hat.
I don't think Debbie's got that one.
No. All right, let's get into some news. The five things you need to know this morning. Mavs, take it away.
All right, let's begin with the president and how he has defended the government's undertaking to cover the legal costs of Jacob Zuma's court action over the fraud and corruption charges against him. So the DA claims that the deal that was struck with the former president is unlawful. So they are gearing up for their own legal action to force the presidency to recover the 15.3 million rand that taxpayers have forked out so far. But the EFF's Julius Malema says, actually, it isn't 15.3 million rand. It is at around 64 million rand. So President Ramaphosa says the undertaking with Zuma was signed in good faith
and that Zuma will personally have to pay back the money if he loses in court.
That's a very good point. Like, what is the figure? Because you can't trust Jacob to tell you the figure.
No, he doesn't know what the figure is.
His lawyers, numbers. His lawyers will never disclose how much money they've made out of him.
No.
So we really are just all having
someone a guess. Someone do a lifestyle audit of Michael Huddy, and then we'll have some idea at the ballpark figure. But I like that. You see here, this again is, this is healthy politics, where everybody is asking the state, which controls our money, why they're spending it on this criminal. Why they're wasting our money. You know how much 63 million rand could do for poor people? Again, for schools, for kids who are being assaulted by scholar patrols, by the police who could root out their worst people. You know what? 60 million or even 15 million, if you take Cyril's low figure, which is bullshit. You know what that could do?
Wow.
Do you have 15 million lying around? Do you?
Not this week, no.
Right. Exactly.
Not this week. Next week, maybe.
So think about it. This is what he spent on just fees to keep him out of jail, basically, and to keep him out of trouble, because he's made such bad decisions. And remember, nobody put the president in this position. He wasn't forced to make any of these decisions. He wasn't forced to put his hand in the till. He wasn't forced to do things that were considered fraudulent. He wasn't forced to disobey the Constitution. Nobody put a gun to Jacob Zuma's head and said to him, you must do these illegal things. He chose to do them. And he must have had, as every president in the world has, a legal advisor who would have said to him, I remember Thabo Mbeki's legal advisor was Mojango Gumbi. And she was good. She was smart. She said to him, don't do this, do that. That's what keeps you out of trouble. You listen to people like that. Now, whoever he had, if it was Michael Huddy, I think is his personal lawyer, or someone else, they should have said to him, you're about to commit a crime, or at least get yourself into huge trouble. So, don't do it. They didn't listen to him. Now it costs us. Why should we pay 15 million rand towards the president staying out of trouble? The former president. Why?
But if you're Michael Huddy, it's in your best interests to have the president keep getting into trouble, because every time that he's in court, that's your paycheck.
Yeah, it's kind of true. Imagine,
you know what I mean?
Imagine how he looks at the news. Ah, board controversy. yes, you can extend the kitchen.
Yeah, every time your client...
Send those kids to that school I can't pronounce, whatever you want.
Yeah, every time your client is in trouble, that's...
Ka-ching.
Ka-ching, that's EFT yeah. notification, right. So...
Yep, I will take that boat. Dipshit's back in the dock.
All right, what else is going on?
The Gauteng Health Department yesterday launched an ATM pharmacy in Alexandra. It dispenses medication, yes, just like an ATM.
Right.
This is in partnership with private health companies as well as some non-profit organizations, including Right to Care and Right E-Pharmacy. The unit is the first of its kind on the continent, and the technology was developed with a team from Germany.
Huh.
So basically what happens is you walk up to the ATM pharmacy, you insert your ID and your patient card into the machine,
right.
And then you enter a 4-digit PIN.
Huh.
Then your prescription automatically appears on the screen, and all you need to do is confirm the details with your pharmacist, and then your medication pops out of the machine in the same way that money would from an ATM.
Fantastic.
That's excellent.
It
cuts out all the crap and waiting in the queues. And
yes.
Because you know how, especially in places like Alex, you have to queue. I've been to those shops there, and you see people queuing just to buy groceries.
Well, there's usually just like one little clinic that's supposed to service the entire area, so that's how the queues end up accumulating.
I just hope that people don't... is there a way that you can get more than you're prescribed?
Oh,
because then people will, you know what will happen, right?
Well,
they'll keep going to the ATM, getting pills and pills.
I think it's like you've
and then it'll form like another underground economy. I mean, this would happen with anyone, but it takes longer at the pharmacy.
It's like there's going an to an ATM, though, and you don't have money in your account, you can't draw money.
Oh, okay.
It's like when you've got a prescription for something,
right.
And it's out.
That makes sense.
But it's so good, because the last thing you want to do when you're sick is queue. These are the people who should not be in queues.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So that's good news. And then another bizarre story with very little information available on the story, but police are investigating the murder of a patient at the Stellenbosch Provincial Hospital.
Another Stellenbosch one. Is dangerous.
Same place they found that guy in the roof?
Yep.
Yes.
Stellenbosch is dangerous. There's a guy in the roof. There's the Dzulza place that's up the road where the Fundbradaza.
Was there?
I mean,
yeah.
Spear murder?
Didn't well, that, yeah, that Roda thing happened yeah. there?
Jesus. Well, this time, a man's body was found under one of the hospital beds.
Under no. one of the beds?
Under the beds. It was found.
Who's running this place?
In one of the wards.
Helen Keller?
Police suspect that the person was strangled to death, but, you know, that's all the information that they have available for no. now.
But it's because you got to think the wow. possible step would be gang related, because obviously gang violence is a big thing in the Cape Flats. I mean, it's like you don't go in for your appendix to come out and you get strangled. Like, there's got to be something here.
Yeah, it's all what just very bizarre.
If you end up in trouble in Stellenbosch, do not go to the hospitals in that area. It sounds like just a death sentence.
And
you'll be left in the roof.
And I don't think they ever solved that one, did they?
No.
Of the man in the roof. Well, now there's one under the bed.
I mean, like most pressing stories, we were the only one covering it.
We even wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Dead in the ceiling.
Yeah, I remember.
I have a copy of
we're
that.
We're still reeling from the body in the ceiling. Anyway.
Okay. Cricket South Africa have now appointed advocate.
Hey, I do the sports here.
Sorry, my bad. We will keep it moving very quickly.
Hang on a second. You're doing positive stories taking away Sia. Now you're doing sports.
Okay, you know what? I am so sorry, Ben. I will end off with asking you, what percentage of South Africans do you think pay their TV license?
You see another positive story.
You know what, sister? Just take the whole hour. You're on the roll here.
Yeah. This is the Mabali Moloi show, everybody. This is good.
13.
She's on a roll.
Okay, no, actually, wow. Let me not. Yeah, okay. 13, okay.
That's even being optimistic. I was going to say like 7.
I probably should not have asked for a percentage number, but it's okay.
Oh, okay, so just 23 people.
54,000.
Okay, so I'm going to start by telling you that the SABC are under a lot of financial trouble, right?
Uh-huh.
So earlier this week, the latest Minister of Communications, Nomvula Mokonyane, she had to reply to the DA's Phumzile Van Dam because she wanted to know how much money is owed to the SABC as a result of people not paying their TV license.
Hey, Nomvula, how much money is owed by your Department of Water that you just exited? Apparently it's bankrupt. It fucking her talking about money. I mean, that's like a thief walking into the safe in the bank and saying, just leave me here with the keys, I'll look after stuff.
So Nomvula said that the SABC is owed over 25 billion rand.
Holy mackerel!
They did manage to write off a 4.5 billion rand amount in the last financial year. But after all the numbers came in, less than a third of South Africans are paying their TV license. Less than one third.
But how smug are these people thinking they are entitled to all that money?
Yeah.
No one's watching your stupid SABC anymore.
No, they are. They're just not paying.
That's true.
I mean, the South Africans, they are finding other ways to get their TV sets without having to register for a TV license.
She mustn't get all upset with us. This is Nomvula Mokonyane. I mean, Nomvula. The president, who you remember, you put your career on the line for. You said, oh, this is the best guy. He's the one who set the tone. You expect South Africans to pay. When people tell us we must pay for our e-tolls, what do we say?
There's no money that I'm going to be paying back.
I mean, we heard it from our previous number one, so...
Pay back the money.
Well, no.
Pay back the money.
No.
There's no money that I'm going to be paying back.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, I wasn't going to pay for Cloudy's lunch. So that's why I took
the stand. Apparently, Cloudy, this is something interesting I saw in the news yesterday. I hate to steal some of Mubs' thunder here, but...
It's okay. I mean, Cloudy, if I stole Ben's, you can steal mine. Sia will steal somebody else.
That pharmacy story was amazing.
We all learned from Nomvula Mokonyane, so yeah. Apparently, Cloudy Motsoeneng's legal bills are like 2 or 3 times President Zuma's. And guess what? We had to pay for those too, because we pay for the SABC, and the SABC paid his legal fees.
Yeah.
Look him up. Look it up. Pay attention to these things. You're being ripped off, people. Stop worrying about stupid shit that you read in the newspapers, or worrying about land and all this shit, when someone is actively stealing what little you have, not even the stuff that you want to have. Like, we are being ripped off daily by a bunch of crooks. Paying for cloudy mutsweneng. This guy should never, ever have been allowed to even move into a place with paved roads. This guy, this cloudy mutsweneng, he's just outrageously backward. Unbelievable, this dude. I mean, what do you say, Bob?
Shame, shame. Shame, we say.
Exactly.
Yeah, Bob's got a new spring in his step. Oh, yeah,
he's
story.
He was on TV yesterday. Did you hear?
Mm-mm.
I retweeted Evan Mowarire. You remember, came in this flag.
And flag guy.
Right,
he was ahead of his time before Mugabe stepped down. He was already saying he should. Evan was in here. He tweeted yesterday. Let me see if I can find it. I don't want to paraphrase him and quote him incorrectly. But Bob Mugabe was on TV talking about how he should be the one they call on to sort out Zimbabwe. Like, they should call him in. Bob, this is, you know, he's so humble, Bob. Wow. He says he wants people to make use of his extensive experience and to bring him in to help sort out any of the problems that are still going on in Zim. He's got some ideas. How do you like that? So anyway, Evan Mamawirire said, why do I struggle with that name so much? Is it just me? He says, watching Robert Mugabe on SABC News, the man destroyed our lives, murdered thousands, and personally victimized me and my family. Today he appears on foreign media, which he banned, and claims he must be invited to make a transitional process for Zimbabwe happen. Retire in peace, Bob. That's what he said. I mean, I don't think he should retire in peace. I think they should have done to him what they did to Mussolini, but that's just me. All right. Do you want to know about cryptocurrencies, or are you tired of being depressed?
Yeah, we've had a positive run of stories. I think we should give that one a skip today.
No.
Well, I think we should throw it in.
Or do you want to ask Mubs, because she's got it, I'm sure.
No, I'm no longer in the crypto land. I was advised to get out, and that's exactly what I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I wish I'd... Why didn't you share that info? You're sitting right here. You could have told us. All right, so it's still trailing down the toilet at the moment. Bitcoin is at $8,217. So it's up a little bit from yesterday, but not anything noticeable. Ethereum, $608.04. Ripple, God, what a stupid piece of shit that is. 0.69.
That's not even a ripple anymore, is it?
But 69 cents for one little piece of Ripple. That's all. I'm not even going to go into the rest. We'll waste your time and make you angry. I wish I'd invested in toilet paper.
Oh.
At least we know people need that.
Oh.
Right? I mean, that's just unbelievable. All right, let's turn our attention to Ben now and see what's going on in the world of sport. What do you got for us, Ben?
Wow! The what? Death stare that I just got from Ben.
What are you
Ben.
Talking about? Right. There's no such thing. You looked at me, so I looked at you.
I felt your icy stare, Ben. That's why I looked up.
Did you freeze my belly out there? What happened?
Not in the slightest. I've been nothing but all smiles the whole day today. But we will start with cricket because there is some interesting stories around this, which has been the whole case. So,
Kagiso Rabada, this is what we're talking about.
SA versus Australia, the Test Series. This is got to go down. It's like there'll be a documentary made about this whole Test Series. There's so much happening.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be probably crap like the Oscar movie, but there should be a documentary made on this. So we'll start with Kagiso Rabada, seeing as we all know he's been the center of all the controversy right now.
Yeah.
So advocate Dalian Porfa has been assigned to his case. So he's going to go in there, basically tell the ICC they're a bunch of dicks. And hopefully they're going to go, you know what, Dali, you're right. You've got many people off in your time, and you've even represented Gareth Cliff. So we're going to say Rabada can play the rest of the series. And
it's
then
isn't it just, it's so coincidental that Dali always ends up with high profile cases.
Yeah, how about that, huh? There he was.
So good at that.
Let the enemy enjoy.
There he was, just minding his own business yesterday, and Cricket South Africa said, Dali, you know what, I think you're the right guy for this.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a high-profile person, Dalimpof is your man.
That's right.
That's the end of the story.
He's like Thomas Mazzaro.
Yeah.
Remember the guy who did the Michael Jackson case? That's who Dalian Porfu reminds me of.
So the ICC are going to obviously try to uphold the ban because they believe that Rabada is a repeat offender. But the more and more you look at the press, everyone's going back on these previous offences and going, well, those offences were stupid as well.
Yeah.
They were all just such marginal cases. Yesterday on the podcast here on The Bounce Show, I actually played some just general Australianisms. These guys never got so much as one demerit point. But now, poor KG, he's just being thrown out there. So Dali's going to no doubt put a strong case together and go and try to stick it up the ICC.
Good.
Another awkward news. Werner Philander, on his Twitter account, he tweeted that he basically gave a blow-for-blow account of the whole incident with Rabada brushed shoulders with Steve Smith. And he said, Steve Smith gave KG the shoulder. He could have avoided any contact, but he is just as guilty. Trying some football skills to get a penalty. Pity he didn't dive to top it off. A few hours later, good morning all my tweeps, waking up this morning to a lot of Twitter craziness as my account got hacked and someone posted a nice little article on my behalf.
What is it with people that there's a lot of hackers who have very particular reasons to break into someone's account and make up false crap. Nonsense. He did it.
Well, everyone was saying, look, Vern, if you're going to drink and tweet, own it.
Yeah.
I mean, like everyone else does.
Exactly.
But of course, a cricketer, someone in the position can't say things like that. But good on you for doing it, Vern. And then if ICC want to come after you, well, we'll all have your back. Don't worry. But that's pretty funny. The old hack chestnut. Nobody's believing this for a second.
What nonsense.
And also, more awkward cricket news. David Warner, Candace Warner, Sonny Bill Williams, all in the same hotel this week in Cape Town.
Ooh, threesome.
Wow, the gangbang. What's going on there?
Look, let's be honest. If Trout gets dropped, I reckon Warner will just basically go, okay, that's it, I'm out.
People are so sick.
Because the Blues are playing the Stormers this weekend. Sonny Bill Williams is in town. Uh-huh. And, of course, because the test match between Australia and SA starts next Thursday, all the Aussies are already in Cape Town. Yeah, that was Warner. David Warner, the high-pitched Jack Russell in the background. This test series has just been the best
thing.
It's
like drama.
Plus, there's been good cricket on top of that. So exciting. So Dale Steyn, he might come back for the fourth test, although he does believe that it's very difficult to get into this team right now. And damn right. So Morning and Morkel's got to step up either way. And if Rabada can come back in any way, shape or form in the series, well, it's just going to be so extra, extra fantastic because he's going to be so fired up. And the celebrations when he gets the wickets, well, those are going to be very interesting too. Into football. That Thursday European Cup took place last night, otherwise known as the UEFA Cup, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And Arsenal, well, they won something. So Arsenal's season is very much in the toilet. Basically, Arsenal are Ripple right now. And Arsene Wenger is just a cryptocurrency shark. This team is just dying. It's dying a slow death, and it's just dreadful. There's all these different other articles coming out now about Arsene Wenger being so lost in his ways. But they beat Milan last night 3-1, so they go to the quarterfinals. This is all they've got is the Thursday Cup in Europe. It's all they've got. They've got nothing else. They're not in the FA Cup. They're battling to be in the top six in the league. Nothing going on for them here. So the other big team to watch out for is Atletico Madrid. They're in this tournament too. And Arsene Wenger, just filling his team with so much confidence, tells them, we're going to try to avoid Atletico Madrid. No, dickhead. Beat everyone. That's how you win trophies. Have you forgotten this much from your glory days back in the 90s? He's like when Fonzie was in that movie The Waterboy. He just sort of goes into the background and just loses all his bottle. Dreadful. There will be FA Cup action tonight, talking of English teams who do still have a bit of bottle. Swansea from Wales will be hosting Spurs. Not looking good for Swansea there. Can't see them winning that. Man United will be taking on Brighton, Hove and Albion. That's just one team. That'll be on Saturday. And then Sunday sees Wigan Athletic, who just beat Man City. Yeah, that's a big thing for them. They'll take on Southampton. And then Leicester, who, even though the fact that they've got all their players just being taken away from them, basically, they'll take on Chelsea. So that'll be your FA Cup. The Premier League, the Premiership here in South Africa, of course, is still going great guns. Everyone's chasing Sundowns. And this weekend, well, not the best games, I've got to say. Nothing really high profile here. Maritzburg United versus Polokwane tonight. Then Chippa versus Free State Stars. Chiefs will take on AmaZulu. Golden Arrows versus Pirates. Those are your Saturday mix of fixtures. And then Sunday we'll see Blum Celtic versus Platinum Stars. But of course, it's a big weekend of rugby. We've got Super Rugby happening. So the Blues, as I said, will be taking on the Stormers in Newlands, but the Stormers, this flu epidemic is just ravaging this team. Coach Robbie Fleck says he's never seen anything like this in his total playing and coaching years. It's like, are these guys making out with each other? How do you all get flu at the same time?
You just got Tia interested in...
talk about an icy look. You gave me a fiery one now. So the Chiefs will take on the Bulls. That'll be today's game, 8:35. The Bulls, very little hope of winning that one. Highlanders Crusaders tomorrow. That's the big one, 8:35. Brumbies versus Sharks. Stormers versus the Blues. Lions Sunbulls. Jaguars versus the Reds. And the Sunday's match, which you won't watch because it's 7 o'clock and it's an Aussie derby. Waratahs versus the Rebels. The big rugby match of the weekend, of course, Ireland versus England. They'll be at Twickenham. And Ireland have already won the Six Nations, but if they win this one, they win the coveted Grand Slam, which means that you've beaten everybody around your mud island. But last thing I want to talk about this weekend is the golf. What an incredible star-studded leaderboard at the Bay Hill Invitational, which is Arnold Palmer's old event. Of course, Arnold Palmer is dead, so he's not going to be there. But there's all this attention around it, and a star-studded leaderboard. Henrik Stenson currently got the lead there, but Rory McIlroy is playing well. Ricky Fowler's playing well. You've got everyone you want to watch in golf, including Tiger Woods, who had a 67 yesterday.
He's playing well.
He is playing well. And please, if you tell me Tiger's back, just stop it. Tiger's playing good golf. Leave him be. I've actually muted Tiger Woods and back on Twitter. I'll never see those tweets. It's just lazy headlines. People go, oh look, Tiger's back. Shut up. Oh. We've been saying it for months. It's like when Brendan Grace wins an event, everyone goes, oh, amazing Grace. Dickheads, a lot of you. Enjoy your sporting weekend.
You hear what he just said? So nice to people, Ben.
I am.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Crazy. Unbelievable. All right, let's get to Sia. See what Sia has in said by Sia this morning. Are you ready? You up for it?
I think so.
All right, take it away.
Do you guys remember that old TV show MacGyver?
Yeah.
Yes, sure. My word.
This cool guy always finds himself in some sort of predicament, thinks on his feet, makes some sort of contraption and saves the day.
Yeah.
All out of khaki.
Oh.
You did, yeah.
And that too, Ben. And that too. Well, there's a doctor who was recently on a flight. This happened a while ago, but I just thought I wanted to highlight this morning because it's all types of cool. A Dr. Khurshid Guru was on
his surname is actually Guru.
Guru. I mean, right. How cooler do you get? It was a 7-hour flight, and that's when he heard that there was a child suffering an asthma attack aboard his transatlantic flight. And that's when he thought very quickly to save the day using just a plastic water bottle, a cup, some tape, and an oxygen tank. Now, as director of robotic surgery at the Roswell Park Cancer Institute in upstate New York, Dr. Guru is no stranger to using innovative gadgets, but he usually does not work with young patients. But when he was faced with an emergency tens of thousands of feet in the air and seeing this child suffer an asthma attack and wondering what he could do, that's when he got his MacGyver on. So actually the parents of this 2-year-old child had mistakenly packed their asthma equipment in the luggage and not in the carry-on, so they were also panicking and couldn't exactly save the kid. So that's when Dr. Guru stepped inside. He knew that the little boy needed both oxygen and asthma medication, but the plane only came equipped with an adult asthma inhaler that requires the patient to breathe in the medicine. This is something that a 2-year-old who's panicking actually can't do. So that's when he decided that, listen, let me use my robotic listeners to some sort of help. So he took an oxygen tank, a plastic water bottle, and the length of an electric tape. So he hooked up the adult inhaler to a hole in the bottle, and he added oxygen through another opening in the bottle as well, so that the child could inhale both simultaneously. He then took a plastic cup, this just gets so bizarre, plastic cup, and cut a small hole in it, added it to this entire contraption so that the plastic cup can go over the child's nose and mouth as a bit of a mask so that the child could breathe all of this in. And within 30 minutes, the little 2-year-old boy
boy showed massive signs of improvement and was fine. And by the time they landed after their 7-hour flight, the kid was absolutely happy. So the parents are grateful to Dr. Guru. And listen, like, Dr. Guru, you're all types of cool, not only for your name, but for also getting your MacGyver on. So I think what he was doing was absolutely amazing.
Right.
And that's just it by Sia this morning.
I like it.
Dr. MacGyver in my books.
I like that. I love people who can solve problems.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
Do you remember how MacGyver could solve anything? He'd give him a piece of plasticine and some masking tape and a pencil, and he could save the world.
Yeah, you leave that guy in a room with like a tin of mayonnaise and like a paperclip, but he's got a helicopter.
Yeah. And he had that long hair at the back, like most 80s people do. Jeez, they had bad hair in the 80s. Wow.
But that didn't stop his cool factor.
What's the guy's name? I don't know, who even cares?
John Michael Mark Sean.
Yeah,
who played like MacGyver?
That. Give him some generic white guy name.
There was all kinds of
John Sean Mark iPhones. Paul.
that's his whole name. I wasn't having a stab at his first name.
Angus MacGyver's the character, and what? The original actor is Richard Dean Anderson.
Richard Dean Anderson. There was a lot of names being thrown in the hat.
Ben was 90% of the way there.
Yeah,
wasn't even trying. Let me see if I can fashion a hard drive out of these bits of copper wire and 3 tampons and a spark plug from an old VW Golf. It's actually a ridiculous show. I think it made a whole lot of people go into engineering who shouldn't have gone into engineering.
This is actually hard work.
I think it also helped a lot of crooks. Things, steal things, break things.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you learn to make a shank out of a toothbrush.
Oh.
From MacGyver. All right. When we come back, we'll get into some news. We're going to chat to a couple of people this morning. We've got some interesting guests popping by. And don't forget, later this evening, we will put out the David Beckham interview. It's been a hell of a week. We've had Jeremy Thompson from Sky News. We've had Jordan Peterson from Canada. We've got David Beckham from East London.
I mean
the East of London.
Okay.
Well, that's what he said in the interview. He said, yeah, I'm an East London sort of guy.
I'm so glad you did not do the...
I didn't do the accent. Are you insane? No, I like David Beckham, but I mean, he does...
I was so scared he would walk in.
When he came onto the scene, everybody thought, wow, what a talented footballer, and he was. And he was this kind of dynamo. He managed to get everything right. And then, you know, there was that very important power couple stuff that he and Posh Spice did before power couple was a thing. And he's done tremendous stuff since then. Like I said, if you just take the fact that he made tattoos popular... He did. It was him, all on his own. If you take the fact that he made football in America a thing, he did that pretty much on his own. And this guy can do anything. We spent a couple of minutes with him yesterday. We'll play that interview out later. We've got the CEO of Insights in Nigeria, publicist in Nigeria. He's going to pop by to tell us about how Africans consume brands. I think you might be very interested in this. And we're going to have Liesel Gerike in. She's the head of Middle East and Africa for Virgin Atlantic, because they're celebrating Tech Week. And we'll tell you all about that. They're also announcing a second daily service between Johannesburg and London Heathrow, which is good news. Hmm. It means more people from the UK are coming to South Africa, which is great tourism, and more South Africans are going to London to do business. So the more we can open up those trade routes, the better. And Virgin Atlantic are at the helm making sure it happens. So we'll talk to them and find out what they're up to as well. All of that and more on the way, plus some news and your thoughts and your calls. You know what to do to get hold of us. Get ready for Friday, because she's coming for you. And
this is CliffCentral.com.